This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
It's so good to be back with you today. This is the Sue Free Show. And people say, what is the Sue Free Show? And what's it about? What it's about, it's seeking passion, purpose, and connection. We come in contact with people that impact our journey, both positively and negatively. We have a decision, a choice, on how we're going to respond or believe. Our choices decide our perspective on life and what we make of it. The purpose of the show is to bring hope when you feel hopeless, faith when you struggle to trust, and confidence in making life choices. We talk about personal identity, relationships, marriages, parenting, ambitions, success, second chances, and recovering from tragedies. We challenge you, I challenge you, to believe. Take a chance and share your life experiences. Be transparent. Help change or mold a person's life or plant a seed in a life to make a positive difference. Live your life on purpose for a purpose. Be a blessing to someone today. I have to say that because I want you guys to have a full picture of the show and what we bring to the table. And today I have a very special guest. His name is Matthew Fullerton. And working his way up from a busboy to general manager of a prime waterfront restaurant, Matthew gained a broad range of experience in the hospitality industry before leaving to join a company selling computer systems to that industry. Well, that was a switch. Matthew quickly became a principal at Merchants Systems, increasing sales exponentially, I cannot even say that, while developing and executing a business plan that led to multi-state operations. In addition to overseeing operations, Matthew has developed, trained, and coached successful sales teams in a variety of industries while meeting multi-million dollar sales quotas. He also launched an espresso cafe business. I wonder if he likes coffee. And developed multi-site operations. He is the principal of Fullerton Consulting with the primary role of a chair for Convene. And we'll get into what Convene is all about. Matthew is active in several ministries at Saddleback Church. I'm sure some of you even go there. He serves as a church counselor and host of an in-home Bible study. He has a wonderful wife and four children. So welcome to our show today, Matthew.
Thank you, Sue.
I'm so glad that you're with us.
My pleasure.
So, wow, you've got a wide range here, going from a busboy to a general manager.
I started at a young age.
Yes, yes, I understand that. And you've had a wide range of experiences, it seems, listening to your bio here.
Yeah, that's true. It's primarily been the restaurant business, but it is pretty varied. God has given me a lot of experiences and given me an opportunity now later in life to begin to use those.
Right. So we talked about Convene a little bit, and I happen to be a member of Convene, and I really, really enjoy my time there. What is or what does a chair for Convene? What does that mean? What is Convene, first of all?
Well, Convene is a group of Christian CEOs and business owners. As the chair, I'm the facilitator of the group. I attempt to manage a monthly meeting with a room full of type A CEOs, which is, as you can guess, quite a challenge. And then I also meet one-to-one with each of the members on a monthly basis, and we talk about their walk and how they're going to use the platform and all the blessings that have been afforded to us to serve his kingdom. It's the goal of Convene is simply stated is better business performance with an eternal perspective.
How wonderful is that?
Oh, it's an awesome organization, and it's an awesome way for me to serve.
Yes, like I said, I'm part of a convene group, and I can tell you it is a lot of type A's, you know, a lot of leaders in the same room. And you know what's interesting is that a lot of the issues that come up that we face, you know, we feel like we're all alone. And I know that there's people listening that feel all alone in their situation, regardless if it's business or personal. We tend to start feeling isolated, and that isolation causes us to not be able to move or maybe not have the right information in order to make the right move. And from a biblical principle, in Convene, is that it brings the biblical principles into any situation and how the Bible, the truth of the Bible and the words can set us free, and that we can actually move in a direction that's going to be successful, both maybe financially, but also spiritually.
Yeah, that's true. The isolation of the typical Convene member is pretty significant. And the other forces, as the Bible says, actually Jesus said, the deceitfulness of wealth and the worries of this world seem to characterize a typical business owner.
And you know, when it talks about be anxious for nothing, well, as a business owner, I had a gentleman once say, oh, you don't have to answer to anybody. You're on the top. You know, you don't have to answer to anybody. And I looked at him so funny because I'm thinking, wow, I have 54 employees. I have to answer to every single one and their families on decisions that I make. So it's interesting how people have different perspectives on what they view and how that helps or deters them from making wise decisions.
Right. And in our group, we create a peer group environment where people can be transparent and talk about those issues that they're struggling with. You know, when you're feeling responsible for 58 employees, that's a lot of responsibility, and no one there would know the cash flow issues or the challenges associated with making all those responsibilities work. In fact, it would be, in most cases, inappropriate for you to have a discussion within the four walls of your business around those sort of challenges. But in a peer group, all that can become open, and the wise counsel that the Bible tells us that we should be seeking is available to these CEOs and business owners.
You're listening to The Sue Free Show, KKLA 99.5, and we're talking to Matthew Fullerton, who's got quite a history here, and we're learning about this program called Convene. It's a Christian organization that helps leaders be better leaders. We all have to strive to be better in whatever position God's put us in. We all were designed for a specific purpose, and we need to be educated. We have to get the knowledge so that we can perform at full capacity. And Convene is just one of many different ways of getting that information. You know, reading your Bible also helps. I try to run my business with biblical principles, and there's quite a few biblical principles. People say, what do you mean biblical principles? But there's quite, you know, the parables, talking about the parables, you know, those that do well with little, they receive more. That's a principle. And I utilize that biblical principle just to put things in examples with my technicians when we have company trucks. And when we get a chance to retire a truck, I always look at the condition of the trucks that are in the fleet now. And I look at the person who's taken care of what they have, because that person deserves better. So I always offer the newest truck to the person that's done the most or the best with what he already has. And that's a biblical principle. That's just one of so many principles that you can put in action. So you talk about those things also, right, Matthew?
Right. Our whole premise is that we're Bible-based, and part of the reason we do what we do is from Hebrews 10:25. It says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. So we are clearly charged to meet and encourage one another, and that's part of the purpose of the peer group. And also we're trying to, you know, influence for kingdom purpose. In Proverbs 4:23 it says, "Be careful how you think; your life is shaped by your thoughts." And living in isolation The attacks come pretty hot and heavy, and as I mentioned earlier, the deceitfulness of wealth and the worries of this world really can create some very bad situations. As you know, in isolation, bad things can happen and do happen often.
Yes, they do. And, you know, we are put in a position of leadership. It could be because our parents were in the company and then we took it over, or it could be that, you know, a wife coming into a husband's business, whatever the, or a child going into. there's a lot of different things. I can remember back when I'm a mother, and back when my children were really little, and I'd be at home and I'd be doing things like, you know, potty training or any of those things. And I just felt like the problems that I was facing, I felt like I was facing them all alone. You know, I felt like, is anybody else experiencing what I'm experiencing here? And but because I didn't have other people that were going through similar things, it was difficult for me to talk about those things. And then I went to the church and I talked to a couple other mothers that had children the same age and found out that my problems weren't, they weren't just my problems. Everybody faces these problems, but they had solutions. Like, you know, one lady said this or one lady said that, and I'd go home and try these different things. And it really helps to have that encouraging factor to realize that you're not alone, because the devil wants us to think that this is our problem and maybe we're not normal, or maybe, you know, we're all alone. And that is the worst thing that can happen. But sometimes, for instance, church leaders, they're looked at as being people that have it all together, that, you know, they should know it all, right? Like a pastor or somebody that's leading a group. For instance, you as the chair, you know, you're supposed to have all the answers, right?
Right.
Right. But we don't have all the answers. What it is brothers and sisters coming together and helping each other out in time of need. And one person has maybe a circumstance or wisdom in this, and this one has it in that. And that's what causes the group to be so successful, because we all have to be transparent, vulnerable. And that's what creates a relationship and connection, which I love. I love relationship. But you can't be a relationship and be alone, can you?
No. The isolation issues associated with leadership, as I mentioned earlier, you know, bad things can happen in isolation. And God has told us over and over again that we're to be in community throughout the Bible, as I mentioned that one verse from Hebrews. But there's references throughout the Bible about being in community, being together, and wise counsel. And that's really what we're all about as a convene group.
You press people too, though, right? I mean, because it's not all fluff. You know, you need to sometimes make people accountable. And us as just people in the group, we make each other accountable, which we're called to do.
Yeah, accountability is part of what we do. That's the accountability in our Christian walk, as well as how we're doing in our business. And are we being a good witness? The typical CEO has a platform of influence. I've heard a lot of different numbers, but it runs somewhere between 1,000 and 3,000 people. That's a tremendous responsibility, because you have a platform of influence to your staff and their families, the customers, perhaps, and their families, the vendors and their families, as well as in the community. And as a Christian, oftentimes we're under a microscope to see if we're messing up. And so we have a responsibility to serve the Lord, and the Lord has certainly provided us with, in many cases, a lot of resources. So what are we doing with that? How are we using that? We have a lot of discussions around business as ministry. What do we do with what we have, and how do we use that through our business and in our business? Every business is going to act that out a little bit differently, but it's always a challenge that we're wrestling with as a group, and we're holding each other accountable to what are we doing in our business to serve the Lord. One of the members of my group right now is in the Philippines because his heart was just taken there. He met another convene member from Chicago at a retreat. They started talking, and now he's already got a couple of employees over there in a self-sustaining ministry, supporting his business, and now he's got this big, hairy, audacious goal for God to have 1,000 employees around the world that will be in a self-sustaining ministry. The little campus they have right now outside of Manila is supporting a Christian school, an orphanage, and a shelter today. That model with the type of software and software products that his company has can grow. It's very scalable. And through the web and through a lot of other technologies, he's a wizard in these things. It's just awesome to see those sort of things unfold and see God's work spreading in a way that you just wouldn't have expected. This guy joined my group late last year and went on a convene adventure that put him in contact with now what is part of this whole ministry in the Philippines. It's pretty incredible.
This is the Sue Freeze Show, 99.5 KKLA, and we're talking to Matthew Fullerton with Convene, which is a Christian organization that helps leaders, and we're learning more about that, and we're learning more about just what it's like to be a leader and how we all need to be supported, and we all need to support and encourage one another. There was a time when you went to Europe, and we're kind of switching gears a little bit, but I think it's going to all come together. Why did you decide to go to Europe?
Well, being part of Convene gets me in contact with a lot of different organizations, Christian organizations, and it's really a blessing. I was at a conference late last year called the Barnabas Group, which is just a bunch of people that get together to look at ministries and ways that they can serve. I met up with an organization called Momentum Europe there and saw their presentation, and their focus is evangelizing Europe, which was pretty amazing, and it really caught my heart. I went to their conference earlier this year and met a bunch of the what they would call country directors and saw the presentations of what is being done in Europe. Now, Momentum Europe is focused on the evangelism of Europe, but they're part of Campus Crusade for Christ. At that conference, I saw what they were doing in Albania specifically. They have a professional outreach there. Based on the name, you might not know that Campus Crusade for Christ does a lot of different outreaches and a lot of different evangelism. And one of them was professional, so that was like, well, this seems like a good thing. I work with business people vocationally, and that's what I did before I was a Convene chair, so I think it'd be great to go to Albania and speak to business people. And that's what sort of started my whole thought process to go to specifically Albania, which is a part of the old Eastern Bloc of the communist nations.
How did you go about fundraising for this?
Well, that's a great question. I asked my Bible study that I host, as well as another Bible study that I attend on Tuesday nights, just to pray about this. And even before I went to San Diego to meet with the Momentum Europe, people had come forward, and I already had a commitment for a ticket. And then, as I selected Albania as my trip, I don't think I ever had to fundraise. People just said, "Well, I'd like to help support what you're doing." It was really amazing. I was shocked that within a matter of weeks, the round trip plane ticket was purchased, and I had all the funds I needed to make the trip. I was like, "Well, praise the Lord."
Would you consider that confirmation that you were doing what God wanted you to do?
Yeah, I really did. I mean, I really felt, okay, this is what I need to do. It started off by me just saying, "Lord, I'm available. Use me any way you want."
That's a message for every listener.
Right.
Isn't it?
Absolutely.
Right.
And through that, that's when the provision seems to come. That's when the adventure seems to happen. Bill Bright, who was the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ back in 51, actually at UCLA, he was quoted once saying, "The Christian life, according to the claims and promises of God's holy, inspired word, is meant to be an exciting adventure, an abundant, fruitful life, characterized by the supernatural."
That's exciting right there.
Yeah, I love that quote.
That's very exciting right there.
Yeah, and it starts off with surrender and doing all the things that the world would tell us we're not supposed to do, and then we can maybe enjoy the abundance and fruitfulness of this Christian life. And the supernatural certainly seemed to be part of my trip to Europe.
So how did you end up on a train ride from Germany?
Well, this happened to coincide with the volcano that was going off in Iceland.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was going to meet up with a bunch of people. There was a banker coming from Minnesota and a director from Virginia. Well, they all got their flights were all canceled, so they were stuck here in the United States during that period of time. Well, through a lot of prayer and really just checking in with Lufthansa, for whatever reason, my flight flew from LAX to Munich, and which was great. And then I got to Munich, and there were no flights.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So here I am in Munich, and I have no flights, and I have no place to stay, and I'm by myself. So the people there at the airport, the airline said, "Well, you might try the train station. There's a small train station in the Munich airport, and they have three little counters where they sell tickets." So I get in line there. You can imagine there's a pretty big line everywhere to try to figure out where people are going to stay or how they're going to get out of the airport. And the line wasn't looking very long, although it did take a couple of hours.
No, boy.
Because it was all so confusing, and they don't seem to have these booking agents well organized with their computer. So when I finally get up to the window, it's getting late, and I think the poor person behind the desk had been under a lot of pressure all day long, and I said, "Well, I'd like to go to Albania, Tirana in Albania." And he says, "Well, we have no trains to Albania. Next." And I'm like, "What?" I waited in line for this. And for whatever reason, the guy right behind me, who I hadn't even noticed him before, stuck his head in and said, "Well, you could go to Skopje." And I said, "Where's Skopje?" "So Skopje is in Macedonia." I said, "Oh, okay. I'll go to Skopje, whatever, that sounds good." this whole while, I'm just praying for patience and praying that if I'm in your will, God, just show me which direction you want me to go. And I'm pretty isolated at this point. My cell phone's not working. No one knows where I am. But anyway, after 20 or 30 minutes, he finally figures out a train route to Skopje, and I get a hotel room that night. And so the next day, I'm at the main Munich train station, and I'm on a 26-hour train ride from Germany through Austria, Hungary, Serbia, Macedonia to Skopje. It was an amazing adventure. Now maybe a lesson that says be careful what you pray for, because I prayed, "Oh Lord, I'd kind of like to see Europe." And as it would happen, I saw seven countries in a little over a week.
Wow. Listen, we have to take a break, and we'll reconnect on the other side of the break. So hang on there. This is the Sue Freeze Show, KKLA 99.5.
What would happen if your computer network went down? It happens every day to businesses large and small. Imagine losing financial records, days of work, or even your entire client database. How damaging would that be? Imagine how different your life would be if you could find out about a computer disaster before it happened. With NSI's free network analysis, you'll get a technical specialist who will not only warn you about any possible threats or system issues, but you'll also get a full inventory of your systems along with a site performance evaluation. And at the conclusion of your analysis, we will sit down with you to explain exactly what we have discovered in terms that make sense. This valuable offer is available for a limited time to all business owners. Wouldn't you like to have peace of mind that your technology is stable and secure? Find out why hundreds of companies, like yours, choose NSI as their technology partner. Don't rely on luck. Let NSI help. To schedule your free analysis and see how NSI can help your business strengthen its technological base, call 866-671-0089, extension 204. That's 866-671-0089, extension 204. Call today and find out what it's like to have a true technology partner working for your business. Call 866-671-0089, extension 204.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show.
So we're back from the break. This is the Sue Freeze Show, and we're talking to Matthew Fullerton. And on the break, I was talking to Matthew a little bit about what we want to give you as the listener. And what we want to give you is, if you're feeling like you just don't know what to do, you feel like, you know God created you, but you just don't know what you're supposed to do, we're going to talk a little bit about that. But we're also going to talk about the rest of this trip, because there's a message. There's a story behind here. He's already said that, somehow he got this idea, and all of a sudden everything he needed to get going or to go on this trip was provided. Thank you, God. Right?
Right. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. And so the trip, I've taken a train trip in Europe before, and I'm going to tell you, they tried to steal my purse, and that was a scary thing. But it was interesting to see the cultures and to see how people acted on that train. It was kind of hot, and it was cold, and people were crammed into this train. So that was a huge experience all on its own. I was traveling with my daughter, and it was an amazing trip for me, too. So anyway, let's talk more about this trip that you had to take. How many hours was it?
Well, I was in the train for 26 hours.
That's a long time.
Yeah, and the train actually kind of went downhill quite a bit. Once we got into the old communist countries of Serbia and Macedonia, it was amazing. But then I got a driver, but we arranged a driver to pick me up, and then there was another six-hour ride from Skopje into Tirana, which is the capital of Albania. So they said, well, we're going to do a luncheon the next day into a group of people down south. Of course, so it was another travel day to make it to that luncheon. But the heart of what I wanted to express here was the amazing thing that God is doing in Albania and some other countries in Europe. When I showed up down there, I was not prepared to do much, but they said, we want you to give your testimony. So the conference was based on integrity in the business place. That was the appeal. The demographic of the audience were 50 and 60 year old professionals that grew up under communism.
Hmm.
And 70% of them have a Muslim heritage. So this is not what I would consider, just based on what little I know about Europe, to be a receptive audience.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave my testimony about the fact is, I didn't come to the Lord and accept Jesus as my Savior until I was 51 years old.
Really?
Yeah, and I spoke to them about the being a Christian in the United States. They look at us and a business person as having it all. So I explained to them that, yeah, I learned how to make money and I learned how to accumulate things, but I also learned how to destroy relationships and live a very empty life, full of a lot of worries. Back to the verse I said earlier, the deceitfulness of wealth and the worries of this world certainly characterized my life before the Lord, before Jesus became my Lord. I explained that to the group, and then I said, you know, after coming to the Lord, now I understand what it's like to have that hole inside of me filled up. Now, I was speaking through a translator, so it went fairly quickly, and it seemed a bit disjointed at the time. But I talked to him about the fact that Jesus truly did exist, and he did not lie. And once I realized that, it changed my life. And so now my whole life is dedicated to serving, and my relationships personally have improved dramatically. And the walk with the Lord is really filled these empty holes in my life. Afterward, after the luncheon, we had about 70 people there, and one woman in particular came up to me and said, "How long did your wife pray for you before you came to the Lord?" I said, 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah, she was pretty amazed, and I said, "Well, why?" She says, "Well, I think my husband came to the Lord today because of your story."
Oh, I'm going to cry.
Oh, I was wow. Blown away, and she's speaking in very broken English, and I said, "You're kidding me." And then her husband came over. His name is Eduardo. And he was beaming.
Aww.
I gave him a big hug, and I said, "You just made my entire trip worthwhile, the whole thing."
And that does, just that one life.
Oh, yeah. It was so amazing.
One life. You were called to do that for that one man. It's amazing. If you've ever led someone to the Lord, it's just, there is nothing like it, is there?
It's the adrenaline that keeps the whole evangelism fueled. I mean, it was so amazing. And at the end, they were both thanking me, and it was such a blessing to be part of that.
Yes.
It turns out that there were 12 people that day that gave their life to the Lord for the first time.
How did you find that out?
Well, we had fairly well organized, again, as Campus Crusade for Christ. They had response cards on the table that they were asked to fill out to see if they made a declaration that day, and also to get a free video.
Mm,
so that was kind of the hook.
Right.
And this was one of a number of events like this that we were doing during that week. But 12 people out of this demographic, it was just absolutely amazing, and it's, my head still spins when I think about it, that the Spirit has been working and is working in this part of the world in such a big way, and there was no hope there. In 1991, that was still a communist country, and there was no Christianity to speak of, none, no religion, really. And now there are thousands of Christians in there, and it's growing, and it's growing in such a way that the characterization used to be that Europe was post-Christian, and now what we're trying to convince everybody is that it's pre-Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a wonderful thing when you surrender to the Lord and say, "I'm here, use me." That's when the adventure starts.
So that's the message to the listener, is that if you don't know where your life is going, if you're at a crossroads, if you've lost your job, if you're frustrated with your life and you just don't feel like your life matters, first of all, it does, because you were created by God and he died for you. Even if you were the only person on this earth, he died for you and you alone, because you're that special to him. So don't think that you're not important, because you are. You're very valued. But if you're wondering what to do next, the next step, Matthew's story is kind of saying that, you know, he just got this idea. It kind of just got placed in his spirit, and he put it out there. Sometimes we have to speak the words, and even though we think it's just too big for us, that's God likes that. God likes it when it's too big, because then it shows that it's him. And coincidence, in my opinion, is when God decides to stay anonymous. Because there's no coincidences in life. Things happen. We meet people. Relationships happen. There's this. Have you ever met somebody and it's an automatic connection? You just feel connected from the second that you meet them. Has that ever happened to you, Matthew?
Yes. Yeah, it did. I mean, it happened with the country director for Campus Crusade for Christ in Albania. That's who I stayed with when I was there.
Wow. This is the Sue Free Show, KKLA 99.5 FM. And we're talking to Matthew Fullerton, and he's a chair with Convene. And we're talking about his travels. So are you a world traveler before this happened? Did you travel a lot?
I have not. I've been to Europe just twice, basically to Britain. And so I'd never been to the continent at all. And I'm not sure why I was drawn to it.
Yes, you are.
Well, I mean, I can look back and say, yeah, of course, I had to go because God
wanted
me to go.
Yes, because God wanted you to go. That's for sure. Yeah. So do you have future plans for mission trips to Europe?
Well, you know, again, as when you pray to God, use me, stuff starts to happen. I actually am going to Germany and Poland in September, and I'll be going back to Albania in October.
And the purpose of those trips are?
God apparently wants me to go. I again, didn't do any fundraising. These trips that are already ticketed, they were just coming through sort of through the people that I know and asking me to help. The it's a vision trip in September with Campus Crusade for Christ. And then in October, what I'm hoping to do is finalize a Convene community adventure where I could take a group of 10 to 20 Christian CEOs to Albania and have them connect with the business community there in a fellowship and growth opportunity and see how the CEOs from this country can support what's going on there and vice versa.
How do they view women in the business world over there?
Well, they view women differently in every area there. Certainly the business community is not filled with women.
Mm-hmm.
When I told some of the men there that I'm the cook in my household, for example, I was really kind of sneered at.
Uh-huh.
Because the roles are just very, very traditional, what we would call real traditional in this country.
Uh-huh.
You know, like a 100 years ago type role for women in that society. But even the church, obviously, the leadership in the churches that I met with in the Campus Crusade for Christ leadership is pretty empty of women.
Mm-hmm.
The women that seemed to be the most active were the women that are from the United States that I met, that are active in the leadership of the evangelism movement that's over there.
Mm-hmm.
The Campus Crusade for Christ organization in Albania has 100 staff members.
The Campus Crusade for Christ, is that the organization that has a website that is constantly counting new, is that the website that has the new believers and they check back and see how the progress is?
I think
that's
part of what they do. They actually have about 50 different ministries.
Big organization.
They're a large organization. They started at UCLA, as I mentioned earlier, in 1951, and they went worldwide back in the 70s, and they have chapters all throughout Europe, and the Europeans seem to have a special emptiness, a mm-hmm. spiritual emptiness that seems to be a bit unique because they would be considered by world standards pretty wealthy, the haves of the world, but it's spiritually empty. The spiritual emptiness is probably some people would characterize it as a greater need than the needs for food and other things, say in Africa. less than 1% of the population is Christian. And the word has not been spoken much to the typical European. They don't have a lot of exposure to Christianity except these large, giant churches that have really kind of gone off in a direction that, as an evangelistic Christian, is not the direction we would like to see Christianity go.
Were you afraid when you had to give your testimony at that event?
Yeah, I really wasn't sure what I was going to say. I had to just...
You weren't prepared.
Right. I've written out my testimony, and I understand, you know, how to give it, but I didn't know how to appeal to that group, so I just left it to prayer. What does this group need to hear? What's important to them? And as I prayed and prayed about it, it seemed to become very clear to me that the message they needed to hear was that chasing the materialistic world, which is how they view us, they think we mean U.S. have it made, is really hollow.
Mm-hmm.
That don't go down that path because you'll waste your life.
It has to be more than that. There has to be a significant.
Yeah,
it has to be something of significance behind it, or what's it worth?
Right. We can't love money and Jesus at the same time.
Right. But us as leaders, we make the money so that we can use that money for good things, for God's kingdom. Right?
Right. And that's where Convene comes in. That's a big part of what we do is wrestling with what's that really look like?
Mm-hmm.
What's it look like to bring Christianity into the workplace without alienating people?
Right.
Or shoving it down their throat. Really, it's about showing the love of Jesus. And that's a difficult formula for a variety of different businesses because we're also called for stewardship. We're called to maintain these businesses and keep them healthy, because otherwise, we don't have a platform to do His work.
I also, as a leader and the president of Ecola Services, I feel that part of my job or purpose is to teach my employees stewardship. You know, budgeting their own accounts so that they're not asking me for loans. You know, it's like I need to teach them how to be better with their money so they can be better stewards. So that's something that I try to invest in them and teach them. Because as leaders, we have to be teachable, but we also have to teach. And sometimes it takes time that sometimes we don't have.
Right.
So can I put you on the spot?
Okay, I guess.
Are you nervous?
Yes. A little bit.
You said that you were saved when you were 51. Was there a crisis or something that happened at that time that caused you to want to have this relationship? Or what was a little bit of the background before you became a believer? What happened before that? Can you talk about that?
Oh, sure. I'd be glad to. I look back at it and realize I was kind of searching around looking for answers. But I wasn't terribly active in the process. My wife was reconnecting with the church as a lifetime Christian, and she brought home an audio program by Lee Strobel called "The Case for Christ,"
mm-hmm.
and she said, you know, made me have a commitment to listen to it. So of course I threw it in the glove box in my car and drove around for weeks with it in there. At one point, I had to make a long trip to San Diego, so I thought, well, I'll get this obligation out of the way, and I listened to this book on audio, and by the time I got to San Diego, I was actually in tears.
Oh.
And the realization was, is I was completely ignorant on this subject.
Mm-hmm.
I had believed the worldly lies around Jesus and, quote, religion, to the point that I didn't really know much of it at all. So at that point, I actually called my wife and said, okay, I'm now a seeker. And so I started an investigation. I started going to church and reading the Bible and reading a lot of material on the subject. So I actually came to Christ through more of an intellectual pursuit rather than an emotional crisis. The information, historically, as well as so many other sources was overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Can you give the name of the book that you listened to again?
It's called The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel.
Okay. I bet you there's people writing that down.
Yeah, I had the honor of meeting Lee Strobel at church one time after this happened, and I gave him a short thing of this, and he said, "Oh, you listened to it on tape?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "Well, I spent so much time in the studio, I don't know if anybody would ever get anything out of it." So he says, "You just made my day."
And you did. I'm sure of it.
Well, I stood there just awestruck. I didn't even know how to answer that. I said, "Well, you just made my millennium, or what?" I wasn't
you
even
made my
sure
life.
How to respond to that.
This is the Sue Free Show, KKLA 99.5. We're talking to Matthew Fullerton, and we've had a wonderful time together at talking about, boy, all kinds of things. So let me ask you another question. I'm going to ask you something, put you on the spot again.
Okay.
The question is this. You have, let's say, 2 minutes to say something to people that are listening to you right now. And it's, you know, important. It's an important time. Mm-hmm. What would you want to say to the listeners that are listening that could be life-changing for them?
Well, I would say that the Lord will provide for us. The promises of the Bible are tremendous. And as I mentioned earlier, I chased all of the worldly stuff. And to some, they would say there was some success that I had there. But it wasn't fulfilling. It wasn't anything. The Lord has helped me and my family and my my wife and children in so many ways now that I'm surrendered, and the adventure just keeps going on and on. I'm just amazed by the adventure that God brings our way. And for those that are hurting, one of my favorite verses that gives me hope anyway is in 2 Corinthians 4:17. It says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." So we fix our eyes on what is seen, but we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal.
What's your wife's name?
My wife's name is Cindy.
And how long have you been married?
A little over 25 years now.
This is the Sue Free Show, KKLA 99.5 FM, and we've been talking with Matthew Fullerton, with Chair of Convene and many other wonderful stories. And thank you so much for being a part of the show today. Matthew, I really appreciated our time together.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Keep up the good work.
Thanks.
And I hope I get to meet you.
I'm sure we'll have a chance.
Okay. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Bye.
This is Sue Freeze, and I look forward to talking again with you next week.
Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services.
Are raising insurance premiums making it unaffordable to offer quality benefits to your employees? Well, before you throw in the towel on providing affordable employee benefits, call Denon Simpson Insurance Services, the benefits specialist. Denon Simpson saved her clients over $4 million in premiums last year while offering extra benefits like heart scans, stroke scans, even chair massages. Let your employees know how much you appreciate them by offering them a comprehensive benefits package that's easy to manage and affordable. Denon Simpson serves companies throughout Southern California. Clients like Make-A-Wish, A American Self-Storage, the Foursquare Denomination, and ministries around the world. They love an opportunity to save your company thousands too, while providing a culture of wellness and safety. If you're responsible for the health and safety of your employees, call Denon Simpson Insurance Services today at 818-676-0044. That's Denon Simpson Insurance Services for a free evaluation. 818-676-0044. Denon Simpson, the benefit specialist.
Ah, springtime. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. it's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.